Good morning, everybody. Boy, I love English. This is great. I've been ministering in Spanish for 41 years, but English is my heart language. So this is really a blessing and honor for me to preach here and to be part of the Calvary Living Hope El Refugio community. Praise God. I'll address that more later, but we just thank God for bringing us together. The title of the message is what's on the screen, except I put a comma in there. Detained, comma, but not defeated. And as you see, the passage is Acts 12, 1 through 16. I prepared a message on Daniel 5. It's in the church office. But it's really long. It's 28 pages long. So I'm going to defer to Pastor Jorge, who I believe will speak on that next week. And I'm sure he'll do a better job than I would have. So I'm going to talk about this because it's pertinent to what we're doing in El Refugio. We're having El Mes de la Victoria, the month we're emphasizing victory this month at our church. Four messages on Gideon, on David and Goliath. David's the winner, Goliath is the loser there, the victor. On this passage here on Peter, as we'll see, and those kind of victories there this month. One of the victories is we're going to baptize, God willing, next week. And as I understand it, Graceland will later, a couple hours later next week. We're praise God for that. We baptize in January. This week, the person to be baptized is a 77-year-old from just down the road from Antonio in Mexico originally. And I'm going to baptize him very carefully. Praise God. Let's look at the passage. More about the passage, less about me. So, if I get this right, we'll see. I'm going to read it out loud. You can follow along this version. About that time, King Herod Agrippa began to persecute some believers in the church. Just a preface, this is probably about 42 AD, about 12 years after the resurrection, the church had grown. Okay, he had the apostle James, John's brother, killed with a sword. When Herod saw how much this pleased the Jewish people, he also arrested Peter. This took place during the Passover celebration. Then he imprisoned him, placing him under the guard of four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring Peter out for public trial after the Passover. But while Peter was in prison, the church prayed very earnestly for him. The night before Peter was to be placed on trial, he was asleep, fastened with two chains between two soldiers. Others stood guard at the prison gate. Suddenly, there was a bright light in the cell, and an angel of the Lord stood before Peter. The angel struck him on the side to wake him and said, "Quick, get up!" And the chains fell from his wrists. Then the angel told him, "Get dressed and put on your sandals." And he did. "Now put on your coat." So they passed through and started walking down the street, and then the angel suddenly left him. Peter finally came to his senses. "It's really true," he said. "The Lord has sent his angel and saved me from Herod and from what the Jewish leaders had planned to do to me." When he realized this, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many were gathered for prayer. He knocked at the door in the gate, and when a servant girl named Rhoda came to open it, when she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that, instead of opening the door, she ran back inside and told everyone, "Peter is standing at the door." "You're out of your mind," they said. When she insisted, they decided it must be his angel. Meanwhile, Peter continued knocking. When they finally opened the door and saw him, they were amazed. Let's pray. Lord, we're in your presence with your word in hand, and we're so grateful for that, and we anticipate a moment of reflection, a moment of an encounter, a moment of challenge from your word. May that happen. Bring it on, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. There you go. Imagine you're there at that prayer meeting. Rhoda announces, without opening the door, Peter's there, Pedro, as some would say. What would you have said? Would you have said, you're crazy? Would you have said, pase adelante, come right in, come on down? Would you have said, nah, it's his guardian angel? Or would you have said, praise God, our prayers have been answered? There may be a fifth choice, but there's four good ones. Probably get a variety of responses. What would you have said? We never know because we weren't there, but I think it helps us to think about it. Detained, comma, but not defeated. That's what I see. Do you see the victory there? Not only in March, el mes de la victoria, but all year, all of life, the Christian can say, wow, it happened to Peter, it happened to Rhoda, it happened to them as they earnestly prayed. There's that God power for us. It was an intense time of prayer, an intense time of challenge for the church. The church was growing, but there was opposition. Thousands had been saved by the grace of God. The church's influence was spreading. It was even spreading into non-Jewish peoples. And there was this time of a movement toward new ethnicities, toward diversity, if you will. But there was opposition, especially from the religious establishment in Jerusalem. There was that disdain, that pushback, which led to some intense persecution. This was after the stoning of Stephen. What a way to start the chapter. The friends of James were seeing that he was killed for his faith. There's places in the world now. We kind of enjoy all this beauty and the space and the tradition of this church. Somewhere in the range of 60 years of the existence of this church. And there's a sense of comfort and gratitude for that happening. But there's places in the world where there's persecution. In Mexico, there's less persecution than there used to be. But some of you know that I spent most of my adult life in Mexico. It took 27 years married, 2 years single, first single, then married, not the other way around. And I grew up not very far from here, but I just think back at the kind of persecution that I heard about. We met people that persecution for them was, go ahead and believe what you want to believe, but your kids can't go to school here. No public school, no school. You figure that out. And so people that I met, and I thought, oh, praise God for these people. They didn't really ever learn to read. The only thing they learned to read was the Bible. And they learned to read that at home later in life, and they really appreciated it. And they didn't read anything else. They didn't read the paper. They didn't read the comic books. But they read the Bible because it cost them so much to read. Others, well, go ahead and believe whatever you want, but you can't be part of the union, and you can't get a union job, so bye-bye. It made me appreciate the value of faith, that just to trust God in the face of suffering. Here we see this encounter almost 2,000 years ago, and we can think about what we can learn there about being detained, in his case, but not defeated. If we look at the outline I prepared for you, there was adversity that Peter encountered. You see that pretty clearly here, right? These verses reveal that. First, verse 1 shows us the opposition there was. Verse 1 mentions what Herod had done. Now, at this time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex the church, to make life miserable for the church. You saw that. Bear in mind, this is a few years after Pentecost, after the stoning of Stephen. There was persecution continuing in different ways. James was killed here. He was trying to intimidate the people in the places of leadership, so that they would not challenge the people. They would not challenge his rule. This Herod Agrippa is the grandson, evidently, of Herod, who was there in the time of Jesus' birth, a couple of generations later. And his job, in a way, was as a politician, was to balance keeping on in Judea, were Jews. He was a Jew, but he wasn't a very good Jew. They didn't respect his religiosity, his spirituality, if you will. So he was trying to balance that, and one way to do that was to appeal to both in this case. But we see his opposition there as he opposed the church. People were counting the cost and thinking, wow, this following Jesus is not as simple as I thought, some may have felt. There may be some danger, I may lose some friends, that kind of thing. This is significant in my life. Verse 2 tells us there's some desperation, some despair here, as the people mourned over their loved one. There was some disruption of the way of doing things. The church had lost one of its most effective leaders. Wow. There was fear and dismay in their hearts as they thought, wow, well, this is really going to be difficult. They were thinking, do I have to choose between my faith and my life? And the church was growing, yet there was this wall they were hitting. And as the screen says, you need to face your fears with faith. That decision, that choice, how do I work out my faith? When I was a generation ago, or more than a generation ago, my faith led me to be a cross-cultural missionary. First for 2 months. And I liked it so much, I stayed 2 years. And I remember calling my parents 6 miles from here and thinking, back when phone calls were really expensive, now they're so cheap, nobody pays any attention. But I saved my money and made a phone call from Mexico City. Mom and Dad, can I stay here? I really like this. So my 2 month of summer of 1979 became 2 years. But I'm glad I did. More challenges, more stretching, and more significant ministry. And I could say it worked out well for me to do that. But whatever your fears are, you can encounter them with faith and the guidance of the Lord so that you're doing something significant and productive for the Lord. There's also incarceration, verses 3 and 4. You see it there. Because it pleased the Jews, he was doing it for, if you will, political reasons. He proceeded further to take Peter also. He wanted another victim. He wanted another head so that keep his constituents happy. That's what we see there. So he arrested Peter, put him in a prison, and as the verse 4 says, he had 16 watching him. Four squads of four. Imagine how much we would pay in California for those in prison if every prisoner had 16 guards. Do the math. Boy, we'd go bankrupt. But he was a special prisoner, so he had all these folks taking care of and watching, and they were chained together. So that was the challenge that Peter had. So if there was despair in his heart, it was he knew what happened to James, and he knew that he was tied up with these 16 very disagreeable people, and his future looked pretty bleak. But there's one, as your screen says, there's some maturity. A certain kind of maturity happens when we're stretched so much that we would call it what we're doing suffering. And that's part of Christian service at times. It's part of cross-cultural ministry, as I discovered. And in this case, even though he was not very far from where he was from, this was part of his experience. Of realizing that following Jesus and preaching meant he was risking his life. And that actually made him a better minister as he went forward. But there were some advantages. There were some advantages that Peter had. And he enjoyed these advantages. Verse 5:11 said that one of the advantages is that even though Herod thought he had a foolproof plan, I'm going to be in good with the Romans. I'm going to be in good with the Jews. Get rid of this guy. There was a decided advantage that Peter had that Herod didn't understand. He enjoyed the prayers of the church, verse 5. I like that, as it was in the passage we read. Earnestly they prayed for him. He was kept in prison, but the church didn't stop. Without ceasing, they prayed for him. And so there's a lesson there. If you want a formula for creative intercessory prayer, simple formulas. I like simple things. 4 times 4 is 16. I like that, the 16 guards. Did you get that? No errors there yet. The formula for creative intercessory prayer. Intercessory is you're praying for somebody else. You're interceding for them. As they say in Spanish, dando la cara por otros, no? Ask boldly. That's what they did. They asked for a lot. Okay? And the second thing, you need to trust completely. Why ask if you don't trust? It's like making a phone call knowing that the phone is disconnected. Like, why do that? It's silly, right? But if you ask boldly, you trust completely, and you know that the answer is part of God's rich tapestry of his great plan. We don't understand the complexity of it at the time, but he does everything for his own glory and the growth of his kingdom, if we allow him. So that is what we see here then, and we see now. You can ask boldly. And we ask boldly as twice recently. One, we came back to retire and take care of my father in his last months of life. And I say thank you to God and the church. His funeral was here. And we said, you know, what do you want us to do, Lord? And we started a Spanish-speaking church. As I said one time, in 1979, I was called to share the gospel with the people of Mexico. In 1989, I was married, were called to share the gospel with the people of Mexico. And now, 2015, 2016, feel led by God to share the gospel with the people of Mexico, with the Mexicanos, with the Mexicans who are in California. There's a lot here, praise God. And that's what we understood as God's leadership. So we boldly started a church, Iglesia del Refugio. And then last year, had to find a place to meet and boldly said, God, where do you want us to go? And God brought us to you and to this place. And we are so grateful to God and grateful to Pastor Jorge and his leadership for receiving us so well. And but we prayed and we interceded for each other. And so one of the lessons here is continue interceding for your people. Continue interceding for your community. Brother Allen mentioned Lafayette, and that's your community. So keep doing that. The needs are varied. They're spread around the world, but the needs can be answered through prayer. And that's an advantage that Peter had. He had the prayers of the church, and he had as well the presence of the Lord. God was there and guided them. Verses 6 and 7, we see that. God was with Peter in this time of need. Herod had this devious scheme. God's plan was to, another execution, make the people happy. We'll have a party. We'll execute this guy with the sword. But there he was asleep, deep sleep, chained to a soldier, and the angel of the Lord came. That's what we see in this passage. Wow. And God was present there with Peter in his despair. We don't know the mix of emotions. We can understand that based on experiences we've had, but there had to be this mix of emotions, despair, as I said, and at the same time, hope. They're not antithetical. They're not, you can be have despair and hope in the same experience, in the same person. And the moments of despair lead you to pray. And that leads you to hope. And that, and then you look at the reality and you're reminded of the despair. But God brings you out of that in to hope. The grace of our Lord that brings salvation and hope to me frees us from the bonds of sin and death. That's what we see here. This is a lesson for us. We were bound before being Christians in the chains of sin, condemned and facing a death sentence, just like Peter, right? And the grace of our Lord brings us out of that, and we become free of the bonds of sin and death. And we see here that Jesus takes to heart the trials and the suffering of his friends. Jesus was there with him in spirit there in prison, and sent this angel to be with him, to assist him. And we see the power of the Lord as well here, manifested, verses 8 through 10. And the angel Lord instructed Peter to get dressed and follow him. Interesting, that verse. He was so deep in asleep that the angel came and hit him. That's the word, what the Bible says. It hit him. I hope when you're asleep and somebody wakes you, they don't hit you. Maybe they tap you on the shoulder. How does that work, right? Maybe some music. Music would be kind of nice, right? Maybe an alarm clock. But I hope in your house they don't hit you when they wake you up. But that's kind of what the Bible says here. And it was time to go. And he responded and he obeyed. The bonds of despair and defeat had been broken, and he had a chance to be restored to freedom, not just joy, but freedom as well. And that's what the power of the Lord is. And we see what happened here. True faith for him, maybe it was in the past screen, I'm still learning about this. True faith leans on our weakness and the power of the Lord to get us out of our own human weakness. And that's what happened here to Peter in this time of need. He didn't have any political pull. He didn't have power over the chains, but God did. Praise God. And as we look forward, there was also the perspective of faith we see in verse 11. Let me read that. And when Peter was come to himself, when he woke up, when he shook the cobwebs out of his brain, if you will, he said, Now the Lord has sent his angels, delivered me from the hand of Herod, and from all the expectations of the Jews. He was saying, God did it. Wasn't a great lawyer he had. It wasn't his political pool, a contact downtown in City Hall. Imagine the joy Peter felt at this moment. The doubt that he may have felt, the fear he may have felt, had been replaced by abundant faith. And I know the history of this church is a history of victory, of God moving, and that foundation, though, that kind of layer of blessings that this church has increases our faith, saying, God, thank you for all those things. That's why writing them down, writing your prayer needs down, and writing down the answers helps. We pray, our church has evolved just as yours has. We pray on Zoom on Thursdays, and on Tuesdays the ladies have a Bible study. And my wife teaches that, Connie. She finished a series on lies that women believe. And then the answers God has for those lies. And they finished all those lies. And it was all women only. I don't even know what the lies were, but I'm sure they were very, very pertinent. If you want to find out about the lies, talk to my wife. And this Tuesday, she starts a series on the Lord's Prayer. Praise God. And on Thursday, we pray via Zoom. And so we all take notes because we're not together. I think it's even push to take notes because that's at least we have that contact. Yes. Well, how do things go? We find out later because when we're together. But we see here their faith grew because of this experience. We have the benefit of faith. Christians know that we are secure in God's hand, even in times of adversity. If we go forward, we see verses 12 through 16. There was apprehension. There was things that he was learning in this experience. He was learning as he went along, if you will. And we know that Peter made a few mistakes along the way. And that's sort of encouraging if you kind of get off base once or twice. He was the guy that cut Malcolm's ear off. How'd you like to have that on your resume? Yeah, 12 years ago, I was defended Jesus so well that I committed mayhem. How'd you like that? But he was learning as he went along. As I say, the church was gathering for continual prayer, but they had got a pretty clear idea of their purpose. Verse 12. And when they considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary. They were together praying. That's what verse 12 says. So they prayed, and there was that unity that they felt. John Mark, who was an important person in the New Testament, who also had his failings a time or two, because chapter 13 said he went on the first missionary journey. Wouldn't you have liked to have been part of that? Go with Paul, Saul, and the others. John Mark said, hey, I want to go along. Something like that happened. But then a short time later, he said, no, I'm going back. It's Acts 13:13. We don't really know why. We don't know if he missed his mom. He missed home cooking. He missed his girlfriend. He couldn't handle the culture shock. I don't like these people. Something happened. He went back. Nevertheless, God blessed and used John Mark long term. 2 Timothy 4 says, bring me John Mark because he is useful for me for ministry. That is heartwarming for me, perhaps for you, because when we stumble a time or two or ten, God lifts us up and uses us for his glory. That's what happened here. But there we were outside this house. They were praying. He came to visit them, and nobody answered the door. Interesting. But we see, again, the fervent, continuous prayer that they engaged in. It wasn't. Sometimes our prayers are too casual and too brief as people. We need to be people of prayer, and God will honor that. There was some pessimism there. That was the situation, verses 13 to 15. Peter came, but they didn't really believe it was he, right? Rhoda went to the door. She was a servant person. She was supposed to answer the door. She heard his voice. She was so joyful, she didn't even let him in. Imagine somebody we haven't seen in years came, and we see their car perhaps drive in there. We know it's them. But we're so joyful, we don't go and greet them. That would be something like that. Just recognize the voice here. But they were praying, but they weren't quite sure how that was going to work out. We need to believe God will answer. And that's, again, one of the lessons of this. God will bless us and use our faith when we have faith. They were persuaded. They were persuasive people. They were persuaded of the power of prayer, and they persuaded God, if you will. Verse 16 is really the key. But Peter continued knocking. Take Peter out respectfully and put in your own name. Okay? Minor change. Put in your own name. But I continue knocking. That's prayer. I will continue to pray to God and trust God. They eventually open the door. They're surprised to see Peter. And their doubt turned to belief when they saw Peter. That is a wonderful thing. And it's a great application, a great lesson for us as we go forward now. Continue knocking. That's really the key phrase, if you will, of this passage. There's a relationship here between expectation, what we expect or what we expect will happen, right? That's the gift we offer God. We say, God, this is my faith, my expectation in response to your gift of prayer. You give me the chance to talk to you, to pray, and I give you expectation because I expect your response, your nurture. I expect you to touch my heart and give me head, heart, and also hands that are given back to you. Give me knowledge of what is true, what you're capable of doing, a heart that burns for you, and hands that work for you as well. So that expectation is a sense of saying, okay, my heart knows that you can and will answer. And so we have a blend, a mix of a confident trust, trusting God to do his things, and what you might call a sanctified imagination. I believe under holy guidelines that you're going to do something I didn't plan to do. One of the serendipitous ways I think about this is I grew up in Orinda, not terribly far from here, and spent most of my life, and I hadn't even been to this church until 14 years ago. And at my age, that's just a few years ago. That's just a little bit. And I said, praise God for that. Wow. That's wonderful. God had a hidden gem for me that is this church, but I didn't know about it for a long time. And I say, praise God for that. Part of God's sense of humor, if you will. One of the things that we talk about humor is, look at the passage there, the verse where the angel is nudging him, hitting him, waking him up. Come on, get up. Maybe he was in sort of that sleepy moment like you are where you've been waked up a time or two, almost like a trance. And that's something, isn't that something? And it's also kind of funny that Rhoda ran back and told anybody. They had a party, but they didn't invite Peter. He was still outside knocking. He continued knocking, and he continued in that faith. And they imagined the joyful reunion they had when he finally did come in. It was even better, right? Praise God. God answers all prayer, okay? He grants some of our requests. He refuses others, and he delays still others. That's why, as I said, the title of the message, right? They were detained or arrested. He was. Things were delayed. Ministry was delayed a little bit. Delay is an answer. But to have what we want without God's time would be disastrous. You understand that? Sometimes the timing is not right. We had a man that wanted follower of us in ministry wanted to go to seminary. And he said he wanted to go to seminary. But he was only 18. The seminary in Mexico City allows people to be in at 18. But to me, he was an immature 18-year-old. And so I was trying to be polite to this guy, but I didn't think he was seminary material. And this was when we left 5 years ago. When I was back in Mexico last year, he's in seminary. Why? Because he's 22 and he's grown in. He's matured. And apparently he's doing well. The director has told me that. And again, it's just the timing thing. And part of the blessing for me of being with Calvary, Living Hope, and El Refugio, the people we've met in the last 4 or 5 years that are part of El Refugio, it would have been hard to imagine meeting them if we hadn't been on Meadow Lane in Concord for a few years. So, thank you, God. His timing is perfect in bringing us people who are now here. People come from Hayward to church here. And people come from Pittsburgh to church here. All that. We just need a few more people from Lafayette. Pray for Lafayette. But that's all. That's one of the great lessons of this passage, I believe. God answers all prayer. The answer is knocking. Keep knocking. It's a pretty simple message for you, right? Keep knocking, right? And God is responding to us. God responds to this need. And we don't want to overlook a truth there. Although God is almighty, look at the beginning of the verses, 1 through 4. He does not always prevent the untimely deaths of some of his choicest servants. That's what happened to James, right? God used James for his glory. The people that knew him never forgot him. And here we are talking about him. God used his faithfulness, his ministry, for his glory. And we say, praise God for that. And sometime, well before this time, James gave up his life to the Lord. So he didn't retain it for himself out of selfishness. And God blessed that. But the key moment was years before when he said, God, my life belongs to you. You take the keys. You take control of my life. And all the rest was just gravy, as we say. Being able to serve, being able to share, being able to suffer for a cause greater than oneself. But we need to realize that happens today. We have colleagues that lost their life, unfortunately. Sometimes God allows that to happen. And we also see another truth. Although, since God is almighty, he can easily deliver his servants from humanly impossible situations if he wills. That's what happened with Peter. It's a lesson. And God opened doors. We didn't even know there was a door in the wall, but God opened doors for ministry many times. So if we had more time, I'd give you over the time. I'll tell you more about God's stories, if you will. But God does that. Since he's almighty, he delivered Peter from these 16 guards. They had to go by three different places where there was a three-part miracle. Let's loop back here for a second. Verse 7 says they had to get out of those chains. That was a miracle, especially with the guard right there. They didn't have a key. The guard didn't give them the key. There was no code they put in. It was a God miracle. Then they got past the guard posts, verse 10. And then they had to get him through the iron gate of the wall surrounding the prison. Angel did that. So it was not simple. It was not something that was humanly possible. But again, I'm sure that it grounded and deepened and sweetened the faith of Peter. One more time. God, you've blessed me and used me. Even though he remembered denying Christ, he remembered not being sure how to deal with these Cornelius people that were from a different background, Romans instead of Jews. Even though he had his bumps in the road, God used him for his glory, and that's great. He does everything for his glory and the growth of his kingdom if we allow him. So whatever your imperfections might be, whether you understand them or not, sometimes we're not even aware of things like that, as in my case. Even if that's the case, God uses us for his glory if we let him. If we say, God, I don't understand everything, but your spirit can guide me. And others that are honorable, mature people can give me some direction of how I can serve him better. All those things. But it's that God answers all prayer, and there is victory in that. It wasn't a victory over a giant. A physical victory, it was a spiritual victory. It was a giant that was outside the political opposition. It was also a victory, kind of an internal victory, because his faith that was imperfect became more perfect, more mature. And that happens to you and me too when we go forward. Share this with you. Share this with Living Hope. And later I'll share a different version of this with El Refugio at 1 p.m. But again, God keeps doing miracles and keeps changing lives and keeps breaking chains and keeps freeing people. So that's what we're emphasizing. Be it in Mongolian. I guess we're going to hear a little Mongolian in a couple weeks. Work on your Mongolian between now and then, please. My Mongolian will be Mongolian beef. I'd recommend that as well. And we'll hear a little Spanish and a little English as well. Praise God. And we will appreciate the fact that the kingdom is greater than oneself, greater than one's last name, greater than one's background, even though that's a wonderful thing. And we are humbled to realize we're part of a huge, eternal, worldwide or heavenly-wide kingdom of followers of Jesus Christ. Despite challenges, God, because of challenges, God manifests himself and shows us what he can do. So I want to pray. I want to lead us in prayer. And I want you to think about what your challenges are. What does this mean specifically for you? And God will nurture you, and God will warm your heart as you go forward. Lord, I thank you For this stirring passage, Peter and the whole church were motivated and were ministered to by this miracle. Thank you, God, for doing that. Thank you for affirming their earnest faith. Help us to keep knocking, keep calling, keep praying, keep believing, keep serving. God, give us an extra dose of your presence in the midst of a pandemic and in the midst of opposition, in the midst of challenges, God, we affirm what we learned. We affirm your presence and blessing on our life. And we take something from 2,000 years ago and say, you're the same, God, yesterday, today, and forever. And so we'll march forward in faith. Thank you, God. I pray that we would respond today. We can't do anything about yesterday. But we, in faith, we trust what happened yesterday to you. But for today and in the future, our hope and our love are alive. And that love means gratitude. And our love, and our that love means service. So we're thankful. We're thankful for this moment. In Jesus' name, amen.